You're listening to Your Financial Choices on WDIY Allentown. Your Financial Choices may discuss various financial-related topics and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA, SIPC. To ensure compliance with requirements imposed by the IRS, we inform you that any U.S. federal tax advice contained in this communication is not intended to or to be used for the purpose of avoiding penalties under the Internal Revenue Code or promoting, marketing, or recommending to another party any transaction or matter addressed herein. This show is for educational purposes only. For advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I'm a CPA and a CFP and an AEP on the web at yourfinancialchoices.com. And you can listen each and every week at WDIY.org. As you heard Neil mention, it is our pledge drive this week. So I certainly hope that the listeners of Your Financial Choices come through for me, because it really boosts my spirit when I am able to help WDIY raise some of the funds that they need. And I like this hour to, you know, reflect the dedication of the listeners. I'm so proud of my listeners. Neil had said listeners play a critical role here at WDIY. Well, you also play a critical role in the success of this show, because when you call in with your questions, it just makes it that much more exciting and gives other listeners an opportunity to learn more in the decisions that we're making in our financial lives. So I really appreciate you all being here. I certainly hope that we get some phones ringing during this hour at 610-758-8810. You can call in and pledge, or you can go on the website WDIY.org and pledge directly through the website. We're monitoring both those during the hour. But I also want to mention, don't be shy about calling if you have questions this evening, you know, thinking that we're going to ask for a pledge. If you have questions tonight, Judy Ann is in the studio, and the phone bank volunteers will pass the call to Judy Ann, and she will write down the question that you have, and she'll bring that into the studio to me. So if you have questions, you've been waiting to ask a question, don't be shy. You can call in and ask questions about the show this evening. Let me do my normal little routine before we get started and mention that today is April 24th, 2013. The markets were a bit flat today. The Dow closing down a bit, closing at 14,676. The NASDAQ flat at 3,269, and the S&P closed flat at 1,578. I'm happy to have you all here. Last week, I discussed paying attention to the ripple effects in your financial planning. I think as you go through your day-to-day lives, you need to start becoming aware of that and paying attention to that, and you will see the benefits of paying attention and how one decision in one area of your financial life affects another area. And that's what I call the ripple effect in your financial planning. So we talked about what that meant last week. Tonight, I'm discussing retirement planning. So in between our pledge drive, I will be discussing retirement planning. So if you have questions about retirement, retirement accounts, decision making, anything around retirement, you're welcome to give us a call, 610-758-8810. We do welcome your questions. Tonight, I cannot take them live because of the pledge drive, but Judy Ann is here. And just call in, ask for Judy Ann, and they will. She'll write down the question and bring it in to me. Okay. I do want to mention also for the pledge drive, I hope my listeners do call in and make a pledge. I like to also contribute to the station, and I try to do that during pledge drive. So I will put out a pledge, and I usually meet my challenges. So I certainly hope that we do come through for the studio tonight. We have these volunteers here waiting to answer your calls. And I will write a check for $250 at the end of tonight's show if we can get at least $750 of pledges. I like to always round out that in this hour we can get at least $1,000. So $750, if we could get 10 people to call in with $75 pledge or something, some combination thereof, I would be absolutely thrilled. If you're a regular listener, if you have never pledged before, we welcome you to do that now. If you're a regular listener who has already pledged, we certainly thank you for your ongoing support. So I'm throwing that challenge out there, $250. I hope that we get $750. So listeners, please call in and make a pledge. Retirement planning, let's talk about that. Phone number. If you have pledges you'd like to make or questions, 610-758-8810. Retirement planning. I've had this topic from time to time, and as you know, I sometimes revisit these topics because the needs in our life change. You know, maybe I might have talked about retirement planning a year and a half ago or a year ago, and maybe you weren't someone who was getting ready to retire. Hopefully, we're all eventually getting ready to retire, but sometimes we don't pay attention the same way if it doesn't apply to us, and so it's important that we revisit these topics so that we capture when something has become important to you now that may not have been in the past. So retirement planning, and this may apply to you, it may apply to a spouse, a sibling, a parent, you know, maybe your child if you're elderly, maybe you have kids who are getting at retirement age, and they need to pay attention to the decisions that go into deciding if they're ready to retire. So let's talk about some simple steps that I do kind of talk about from time to time. And this could apply to anybody, but it's especially important if you're someone who's getting ready for retirement. And that is, you really need to organize your financial paperwork, your financial paperwork life, as I say. You really need to get yourself in order. The only way, if you're going to know you're ready to retire, is kind of having an understanding of what you have or what you're going to have when you go to retire. So we need to kind of look at those files or look at those piles of paper that you have all over your desk or all over the kitchen counter, is the case of my husband. So look through those piles of paper. Let's start getting organized. Let's set our files up, make sure we understand which accounts we have. And let's do an inventory. An inventory of what, Lori? An inventory of your assets and your liabilities, and also what they are costing you. This is very important. You need to understand what assets you have. That would be bank accounts, retirement accounts, brokerage accounts, your home, and then what liabilities you might have, your credit cards, your mortgage, car payments. So we have assets and we have liabilities. And when I say, what are they costing you? I'd like you to include in your inventory mortgage interest rates. So if you have a mortgage, what's the interest rate? When are you going to be finished with that mortgage? It's amazing to me how often I'll ask the question, what interest rate do you have on your home loan? And people don't know. If you don't know, then you might be someone who needs to refinance, and maybe you could lower your interest rate. So you really kind of need to get a handle on some of these expenses that you have. Because when we talk about getting ready for retirement, we're also looking at how you spend money and what money will be coming in. So I'm going to talk about a budget in just a second. So in order to have the budget, we have to know what kind of expenses we're going to have. So when I talk about the liabilities, what is this costing us? Because if we have to worry about our cash flow, how can we free up some cash flow in our retirement? Because we're not going to be getting that paycheck anymore. So we want to say, what can we do now while we're employed to reduce our expenses now moving into retirement? It's not going to be as easy for you to refinance a mortgage or to reconstruct some kind of like auto loan once you're retired. All of a sudden, the questions about your employment, your pay, your assets, they really change. It becomes much more complicated. It's much easier when you say, here's my paycheck. And then a bank or whomever is looking at your ability to pay off some of this debt, then that shows a nice good cash flow if you have a paycheck. If you don't have a paycheck, it does get more complicated. So I think it's really important if you're preparing for retirement to take this inventory of your assets and your liabilities. Now, I talked about the cost side of the liabilities, which is the interest rate, when are your payments, how much longer do you have to pay them, but also your assets. What kind of returns on your investments are you getting? If it's not your retirement account, if it's a bank account, if it's a brokerage account, what kind of income are you getting off of those assets? And is that something that you're currently getting that in your mind you say, well, gosh, I've got my paycheck, I've got my interest, I have my dividends, and you're counting on that money to kind of help your cash flow in your retirement. But you have to stop and assess and say, hey, but you know what? Once that paycheck stops, the interest in dividends may not be enough. And now I'm going to have to be eating into the principal payments. So maybe the interest in dividends that you thought you were going to have as a cash flow item are going to be depleted if you're now depleting the principal. Okay, so I don't mean to make this sound complicated, but you really kind of have to take this picture, this inventory of what your assets are, what your liabilities are, what kind of income or cash flow are you getting from your investments, what are your liabilities costing you, and then having done that, forecast or put it into the future, what kind of cash flow are you going to need to pay the bills? And then will the interest in dividends be enough along with maybe a pension or Social Security or whatever other income sources you have? Is that going to be enough, or are you going to have to start eating into your principal that you're getting that income off the principal? Okay, because if you're eating into the principal, it's going to reduce your income, the interest in dividends that you're getting on that investment, and that will certainly affect your cash flow. Okay, so this is all part of the process of getting ready for retirement. Organizing your financial paperwork, knowing what you have, doing that inventory of assets and liabilities and what they're costing you. Okay, then from that, when I said we're looking at cash flow, you need to make a budget. So you need to know what you spend. And once you know what your non-discretionary expenses are or your fixed expenses, and you know what your income is, the difference is what either goes to savings or discretionary spending. Okay, so you get a picture now. We're talking about budget. We know what your income is going to be coming in. We have X amount in Social Security, or we have an X amount in pension, X amount in our interest and dividends. Here's what our fixed expenses are. If you still have that mortgage, if you still have car payments, if you have fixed expenses such as, you know, your homeowner's insurance, maybe life insurance policies, auto insurance. Sometimes when you're thinking about retirement, you're thinking about what your expenses are going to be, and you're taking this picture in your head, and maybe you're thinking about, well, you know, I have my food, I have my cable, I have my phone bill, and you forget that over the course of the year, you actually still have your real estate taxes. You might not be thinking about some of those once a year expenses because you're thinking monthly, this is what I'm spending. And oh, monthly, I'm good. But you have to factor in those fixed expenses we have that happen maybe once a year, maybe twice a year. So again, it's always good to write it down because then it helps you remember more and make you aware of all of your spending. So we first look at fixed expenses, and then we move into the discretionary spending. And that's the spending that is beyond those fixed costs that we have to have. And we have to have the money to pay each week, each month, whatever. So discretionary is, you know, are you traveling? What do you plan to do in your retirement? Do you plan to travel? Do you plan to go out, entertain a lot? Do you go out to eat? Also factor in, sometimes I think when people are in their working environment and they're working, they may come home, they don't feel like cooking, and so they order food out, and they may have put that in their budget. But then when you retire, you're going to have more time to be a smarter shopper and buy food and make food. So you want to make sure that you're planning for that as well. Folks, I just want to remind you of the phone number for questions or for pledging, and the phone number is 610-758-8810, 610-758-8810. We're talking about retirement planning tonight and trying to make sure we have our arms around the process of getting ready for retirement, and then we're going to talk about some of the key risks in retirement, things that you have to kind of think about that may affect your planning. So we want you to be aware of the key risk in retirement. And then we also will talk a little bit about tax consequences of distributions during retirement. Where do you take money out? What kind of tax consequences do we have on money that we're using to fund our expenses? And then if I have time, I want to touch base a little bit about Social Security and a lot of different options that people have there if they wait till full retirement age. So we'll talk about that at the end, because sometimes Social Security is a big part of someone's retirement decision as well. So the phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. Let me briefly speak about our pledge drive tonight. I think Bill will join us in the studio momentarily, but I do want to throw out there that your financial choices is a strong advocate for WDIY. We love being here. We love our listeners, and we want to encourage you to pledge if you are not currently a member. I certainly invite you to become a member. The benefits of becoming a member, you can get on an email list, and they'll send you a weekly email and let you know what the upcoming programming is for the week, which includes the highlights for this show, Your Financial Choices. So if you don't always have the opportunity to listen each week, but you know that a show is coming up, the great beauty is you get a preview of what we're going to talk about. And if you happen to miss it, they also have the podcast on WDIY.org. I have had clients who have called me and said, "Hey, Lori, I knew that you talked about special needs planning, you know, some months back." They go on the WDIY.org website and find the podcast. Bill, welcome.
Thank you. My pleasure to join you. And yes, our brand new, it's been, I guess it was last June we brought it in, so 9 months, but our super duper website hosted by NPR Digital Systems has lots of listen on demand capability and podcast capability, so please make use of it. But First action, though, is to give thanks and thank everyone who did call in right at the end of All Things Considered. And we just met the challenge that we had. We needed 12 donations, and we had a $500 challenge from our board of directors and staff that was on the table. And we just met it right on the wire. You like to keep us nervous. Huh? Jane of Briningsville became a new member. Megan of Bethlehem also became a new member, and Richard of Bethlehem renewed his membership. So thank you, everyone, for coming through this afternoon on All Things Considered. We've been worrying a bit about our All Things Considered audience. You've been very quiet on Monday and Tuesday, so thank you for coming through this afternoon. We still do have a long way to go, and we have goals for every program, and we are looking to get five calls of donations of support for your financial choices. And Laurie always loves to encourage people to call in during the program with your questions. Well, now we're encouraging you to call in both with your questions and to call in with your financial support for this program. 610-758-8810 or securely online at wdiy.org. For five members, either new members or renewing members or additional gifts, all would be welcome and will count to our goal of five that we're looking for. Am I right saying five, Laurie?
Five would be great, but I'm looking for money. So I had said, I don't know if you heard, Bill, I said I would do $250. And luckily, for every pledge drive that I've done this, the listeners of Your Financial Choices have come through for me. I hope they come through for me tonight.
You tell me the goal you would like for your $250 challenge.
I wanted $750.
I missed it. I was doing the counting.
I want $750 for my $250. I'd like to have $1,000 during this hour.
Okay, that is an excellent goal then. So we don't care how many. Right, we are on a financial program, so we're counting dollars here, not people. Okay, so $750 contribution, and Laurie will top that up with an extra $250 to take it up to $1,000. That is a superb goal to go for. You could be one of them. Make that call, 610-758-8810. Show your appreciation for the financial advice that Laurie has given you, Laurie and her guests, over the last 6 months, or over the last year, certainly over the last 6 months since our last on-air pledge drive last fall. I am sure you've had advice that could very well have saved you a significant amount of money. It's put you onto an idea that for you to explore in further depth and has probably saved you some money. I know I've picked up lots of good ideas from Laurie's program. If you have, now is the time to show some love back to WDIY and to Laurie and make that call, 610-758-8810, or go securely online at wdiy.org. And we will thank you with a tree planting along the Jordan Creek up in the Schnecksville area in the Trexler Nature Preserve. This will be the fifth area for a WDIY members grove. We've already planted over 2,000 trees. By virtue of your donations to DIY, we're looking to do another 500 or so this year. You could be one of them and improve. Do two good things in one shot. Support your community public radio station and support the environment here in your local community with a tree planting. All by calling 610-758-8810 or going online at wdiy.org. And we have a whole range of different membership levels, but the evergreen sustaining level, that's one that I know Laurie particularly likes as well. $10 a month on your credit card, 33 cents a day. $10 a month taken out on your credit card, it's vastly less than most of the other bills you probably pay on your credit card or by direct debit. I mean, Laurie, what would you pay for your credit for cable TV or your cell phone each month?
Yeah, that much a month, and this we're just asking for a year.
Right, you pay, typically something like $90, $100 a month. We're suggesting, hey, we'd be happy, do $10 a month, $120 a year. If you'd like to do 15 or 20 a month or even 30 a month, we would absolutely appreciate it. But the important thing is support this program, support WDIY programming at whatever level you can afford. Make that call. Let's try and hit the $750 goal, and Laurie will put her challenge on the table and take it up to 1,000. 610-758-8810.
And I know that 750 sounds like a big goal, but I think if we have, you know, a multiple number of people, you know, if we get like 10 people to do $75, it's very easy to get to 750. And in the past, my guests have come on and my guests have helped pledge, and we get there very easily.
We need guests.
I don't have any guests tonight. So my guests are my listeners. So listeners, please come through for me this evening, because I take great pride in the goals we usually reach during this show.
Laurie absolutely does. And if we had a video camera here for you, you would see Laurie's face when the pledges do come through in support of this program. She really, really, really appreciates it. So how about putting a smile on Laurie's face? Make that call, 610-758-8810, or online, wdiy.org. And let's hit that $750 goal. Okay. Thanks in advance.
Thank you, Bill. All right, listeners, we are talking about retirement planning tonight. If you have questions, you are still welcome to call in. We're not going to badger you for money. If you call in and say you have a question, you just ask for Judy Ann, and they'll turn the phone over to Judy Ann regarding retirement planning. It seems to typically be a very hot topic, retirement planning. A lot of people want to retire, and it's interesting to me how many people kind of have gone the route of thinking in their minds, you know, early Social Security is age 62. And so many people start thinking that that's their retirement age. And one of the things I find is that when people start thinking that they're going to retire at that age, it's almost like you just get ants in your pants and you just feel like you've got to retire then, and you can't stand work anymore and all kinds of things. But I'm really strongly encouraging clients and folks to step back and try to change that mentality. People are living longer and longer now. And if you're retiring at age 62, unless you really have planned this out and thought this through, you need to plan to be in retirement for probably about 30 years if you're retiring at 62. Now, each person is an individual. You have individual circumstances. I've had people tell me, Lori, my whole family, we all die at age 50. I plan, if I'm alive at 60, I'm going to, you know, plan on retiring at 62. So, you know, you have to factor that in. You have to factor in your health. You have to factor in stress levels. I understand all that. But I think if in your late 50s, if you start having that mentality that I'm going to retire at 62, you know, there is a lot of planning that goes in that, and you have to make sure that you're going to be prepared to live a very long time. And if so, how are you going to be able to do that and still maintain some type of, you know, reasonable lifestyle in your retirement? So that's why it's important to talk about retiring and about saving for retiring. Things like putting money into your 401k plans. Should you put money into a 401k, a regular 401k, or if your employer offers Roth 401k, should you be considering Roth 401ks? What about when you do decide to retire? Do you have a pension? If you have a pension, what should your pension election be? Should you, if you're married, should you take a single life expectancy? Should you take a joint and survivor life expectancy? What does all that mean? Do you even, are you even aware of it, that if you have a pension, that you're going to have options and you're going to have to make choices, and they're irreversible once you make them? So you really want to be smart about planning for your retirement. And in so doing, you need to think about the items I mentioned at the top of the show about organizing your financial life, making sure you do an inventory of your assets, your liabilities. What kind of returns are you getting on your assets? What kind of cost or expenses are related to your liabilities? What kind of interest rates do you have? Making a budget. How do you spend money? What's your cash flow? What are your fixed expenses? And how are you with your discretionary spending? Do you save now? Typically, what I see is people who are very careful savers while they're working will tend to be careful savers even in retirement. So people who are, you know, careful with that discretionary spending, they too will be careful in retirement. So those people I sometimes worry a little bit less about than people who kind of don't have any savings while they're working. So if you're someone who's not good at saving now while you're working, why would you think you'll be good at saving when you retire? And if you're a spender now, when you retire, if you haven't developed good habits and understand the cost of money and how you're spending your money, how do you expect to kind of get through those retirement years if you're not having that monthly paycheck come in? So when we talk about the process of getting ready for retirement, part of it is also making sure how you're spending now, being aware of how you're spending now, and is it too late to start changing those habits? So awareness, it's all about awareness. And that's why we're bringing this up. That's why we're talking about retirement planning. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. Ask for Judy Ann, and she will write down your question and bring that in to me. So now let's talk about some of the risks during retirement that you'll have. And these risk factors we got from Fidelity. They had written an article, so I'm reading a little bit from these from this article. The five key risks that are likely to affect your retirement savings are asset allocation, withdrawal rate, so how fast are you taking the money out? Because remember, I told you, if you're relying on X amount of dollars from your interest and dividends, but now you start taking money out of your accounts, your interest and dividends will also go down. So you've got to be aware of that. So what's your withdrawal rate going to be? And then also your longevity. How long are you going to live? So I'm telling you, if you're at 62, what do you have to plan for 30 years of life expectancy? Is that realistic for you? Maybe your whole family just does not have long life expectancy. So maybe you might have a little wiggle room. Maybe you're not going to live as long. I don't know. But in today's day and age, with changes in healthcare and availability of good healthcare, you know, people are surviving longer. We also have inflation that is a key risk in retirement. So what are some of the factors that you can control of these five risks? Which ones can you control? Well, we don't necessarily have that much control over our longevity other than trying to be healthy, eat right, go to the doctor, get checked, you know, that type of thing. Healthcare cost, I don't know if I had mentioned that was one of the key risks. Healthcare cost, again, if you're staying healthy, then maybe you might have a little bit of control over that. But there are just things sometimes that are beyond our control in our health. And I see this every day with people that are healthy, you know, runners, they take care of themselves, you know, eat a good diet, and they still can become sick, ill, cancer, whatever, some things they don't control. Inflation we can't control. So what do we control? Asset allocation and withdrawal rate. So asset allocation, what is that? Asset allocation has to do with when you have your investments, how many different buckets are you putting your investments in? If someone has all of their money in real estate, then they are not really in asset allocation. They are not doing an asset allocation. They have all of their money in one thing, real estate. Some people might have all their money in bonds. The risk that you run with that is if you have your money all in one place and that, you know, sector or that market, the real estate market, tanks, then you have not like spread out your risk. So when we talk about asset allocation, we're talking about you taking steps to be prepared for changes in the markets, you know, ups and downs, whether it's real estate, bonds, stock, equities, the markets that we typically talk about when people are saving their money for retirement. So how much you save, you have control over that. Where you save the money, you have control over that. How you choose to invest it, those are all things within your control. So you want to keep in mind, though, that just because you have done asset allocation, it doesn't necessarily ensure that you're going to make a profit or guarantee against a loss. But you hope that by diversifying how you're investing, that it will at least reduce your risk. So sometimes people do that on their own. Sometimes they work with a financial advisor. But those are some of the factors that you can control in your asset allocation, reducing risks, hopefully, and getting maybe some better returns on your investments. Again, no guarantee, but something that needs your attention. Also, your withdrawal rate, you can control that. So how you withdraw money from your savings, both the amount and where you draw it from. So you want to make sure that if you plan to retire and you're going to take money out of an IRA, let's pretend all your money's in an IRA, and you've done your asset allocation, you're trying to be diversified within your own risk tolerance. So you've done all of that, but the only place you have money is your IRA. I've had this happen where people save all in their retirement account. They defer. They save money while they're on their income taxes while they're working because they're putting all that money in their retirement accounts. But then they retire and all their money is in IRAs. So what you have to be aware of is when you're taking money out then of the IRA or the 401k, that's all income taxable. It's all, if it's not been diverted to like a Roth portion of your 401k, it's all income taxable, ordinary income. And that is taxable for federal. In Pennsylvania, we don't tax retirement accounts, but you may be from New Jersey. You may move to New York. You may move to a state that does tax retirement accounts, retirement distributions. So you have to be aware of that. We'll talk about the tax effects in your retirement planning in a little bit. So you can control not just the withdrawal rate of how much you're taking out, but also from where you are taking it. If you have bank accounts or cash or brokerage accounts, you actually could take distributions out and not have all that income tax on it, depending on how you structure those withdrawals. And maybe you're going to take a little bit out of your retirement account. Maybe you'll take a little bit out of your cash that you saved. Maybe you'll take a little bit out of your brokerage account. So those are the some of the strategies that you can control, the asset allocation and the withdrawal rate. We can also talk about the factors that we can't really control, and that is, again, your longevity, healthcare costs, and inflation. I want to give the phone number again, 610-758-8810. Bill, is it time for a break? Do we have anybody calling in, Bill?
It is time for a break, and I'm sad to report we have had nobody calling in yet. And amazingly, all the people who normally call in with all the questions during your financial choices, where are you now? We need you calling in, 610-758-8810. It's the usual phone number you call in with your questions, so you know this number. Make that call. Laurie has put a very generous challenge on the table for your financial choice listeners. It's up to you now. 610-758-8810. And do your part, and Laurie will put an extra $250 towards supporting programming here on WDIY. So, do you want Laurie to get her checkbook out before she goes? Make that call, 610-758-8810, or securely online at wdiy.org. Seriously, we're talking about financial planning and financial management, and we are incredibly tight with our money here at WDIY. I have a very, very strong reputation for expense control. I've trimmed out a lot of expense over the last 5 years. Every year we're looking for opportunities for example, one thing we're saving money this year, everybody's renewal thank yous and membership cards we are now sending out as a PDF by email. We're not mailing them out over regular mail on paper and printing membership cards. Most people don't really keep them in their wallet anyway. So we're sending it to you electronically as a PDF, and that's saving both energy and materials and labor of stuffing envelopes, and you get the things quicker that way as well. That's just one small example, but we are continually taking out expense and negotiating with our suppliers and partnering. We do a huge amount of trade partnering that keeps down our operating expenses here. Cash expenses, we run the whole station for $550,000 a year. That keeps us on the air 24 hours a day, 365 days of the year. That's an incredibly low expense to be on the air one full year. And we do that by, well, one, expense control, and the fact we are community public radio with lots of community volunteers who are on-air hosts. Laurie is volunteering her time here. Jeff is volunteering his time. We have about 80 on-air volunteer hosts and another 40 or so administrative volunteers, all of whom keep down our expenses and allow your money, your contributions, to go directly towards programming here on the station, to pay for the small number of staff that we have, 5.5 people as staff, and then to pay for our NPR programming costs and our rent and our utilities and materials and repairs to the equipment, those sorts of things. But we're down to $550,000 a year, but we do need your support. We are listener-supported community public radio. Only about 14 or 15% of our budget comes as federal support. The rest of it comes locally. And locally, that means you, our listeners, we're looking to. 610-758-8810.
Thank you, Bill. I hope that we get some calls. I think I'm going to have to default to getting 5 calls by the end of the show. We only have 20 minutes left. It goes very, very fast.
We do indeed. So come on, let's make that phone ring. Put a smile on Laurie's face. 610-758-8810.
We've always reached our goals.
Yes.
So I'm going to be flabbergasted if we don't have some people call. So, listeners, I know it's a beautiful night, and maybe that's what's taking you away from the radio, but hopefully you've got that cell phone in your hand or your remote phone, and you can certainly make your call. And as Bill had mentioned earlier, we can do it with a credit card, $10 a month. That's $120 for the year. If that's too much for you, you can call and make a pledge of a smaller amount. We'll take anything, but we will plant a tree. At what pledge level?
We will plant a tree for any donation level, any reasonable donation level. You know, let's say $30 and above, but $25 and above. We're really not trying to discriminate there. What we need is for you to call and make that show of support, and we will recognize it with a tree planting.
Okay. All right, listeners, please call in. The phone number is 610-758-8810, 610-758-8810. I put this money in myself. I do it usually twice a year, and I've always written a check before I've left. So I certainly hope that I can write that check again. And because I think there's probably some rule that I can't write the check if I don't meet some kind of challenge that I've put on the table. So if we could at least get 5 callers in the next 20 minutes, I would sincerely appreciate that as well.
Okay, so we'll go with
five.
Right? Five calls to get the extra $250 from Laurie. Five calls. There must be five of you out there listening who have benefited and really appreciate Laurie's advice that she gives you here on this program. She invites you to call in. She gives you personal advice. Show how you've benefited. Return the love right now by making that call. 610-758-8810. Thanks.
Okay, thanks, Bill. Folks, if you have questions as well about retirement planning, you're welcome to give Judy Ann a call. Ask for Judy Ann. The phone number is 610-758-8810, and she'll bring in the question into the studio, and I'll be happy to answer that. Okay, some of the factors we can't control in retirement planning as much, and that is life expectancy. There's some statistics that say in 1935, when Social Security was founded, the average life expectancy was about 62, and that's where that magical age of early Social Security retirement came from. They actually never expected anyone to actually live long enough to collect Social Security, and now there's so many people on Social Security because the average life expectancy today is over 78 years. But what ends up happening is, like, once you hit like a critical age, your life expectancy, you know, is even longer. So when I say, you know, if you live to age 62, 65, chances are there could be a chance that you will live another 30 years. I think that was even on the cover of, what was it, The Economist this week, maybe, about, or maybe National Geographic, I think, that this child, there was a picture of a baby that said they could live to, I think, 120. I haven't had a chance to read the article yet, but boy, that would really be something. So we have to plan for our retirement, especially if we're going to live that long into our future. So life expectancy, we've got to make sure that if we're going to retire at age 62, that we have planned that we may be in retirement for 20 years or so. Judy Ann just brought in, looks like, a bunch of questions, so I'm really excited about this. Thanks, Judy. After David called in and he said, after retired, I put $5,000 into IACD, due in about a month, and he found out later that you should not do this after retiring. What should I do? Is it a violation, and how to handle it? This is a great question. David, what you first want to do is see if you said you retired. You want to see if you actually had any earnings in the year that you retired, because you might have retired like in September, but maybe you had earnings earlier in the year. And as long as you met the other income limitations, and I'll assume in your example that you did, that your income wasn't so high that you couldn't put money into the IRA, you'd want to look to see if you had any earnings. You have to have earned income in order to put money into a retirement IRA. All right. And then it's the IRA amount of $5,000 or your amount of earnings. So if you only earn $2,000, you could only do $2,000. So first check to see if you had any earnings. If you didn't have any earnings, did your spouse have any earnings? So if a spouse had earnings, you may be able to put money in as well. Oh my gosh, I think we just had these people, Bill. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Roseanne from Bethlehem, extra donation, and Erica and Bob in Allentown, Evergreen. Thank you, thank you, thank you. See, I'm smiling. Three more to go, three more to go, and we only have 15 minutes. Call in, listeners of Your Financial Choices. Yeah, you get my voice on public radio. You don't often hear this emotion on public radio, but I've got it. So call in and, like, support it, okay? Thank you, Roseanne. Thank you, Erica and Bob. I really, really appreciate it. So, David, I hope that answered your question as far as whether or not you could do it. You want to look to see if your spouse maybe had earnings if you have a spouse. If you had no earnings, then you're right. You wouldn't have been allowed to do it. So let's pretend you did it in 2012. Normally, the IRS gives us until April 15th of the following year to correct these kinds of mistakes. So if by April 15th of 2013, you realized you really weren't supposed to do it in 2012, you can pull the money back out and there wouldn't be any penalty. If you failed to do that timely, then what's going to happen is it's called like an excess contribution, and it actually could be subject to a 50% penalty. The IRS is usually pretty good about this kind of thing and correcting it. So as soon as you realize it, if you weren't allowed to do it, call the custodian, pull the money out, say I was not allowed to do it. There's a form, I think it's, what is it, a 55? Oh, gosh, it just escaped my memory here. There's a form that we file with your tax return that shows these excess contributions. And then there's could be like a 6% penalty on the amounts of money in it over the period of time that you have left it in there. So you do want to pull that money out. Okay, David? And if there are any penalties, sometimes the IRS will abate them if you correct it timely, and you might have to ask for an abatement. This might be David as well. He said he has a lot in traditional IRA, some in a Roth. Is it advantageous to convert, and is there an online tool to use? If you have a lot of money in an IRA, a traditional IRA, you have some money in a Roth. Now, what the difference between the traditional IRA and the Roth is that for you to put money into traditional IRA, you would have taken a deduction for those amounts you put in on your tax return. That deduction means you did not pay tax on that money. It's called pre-tax dollars that you put into an IRA. Those monies have not been taxed. You got a deduction. When those monies come out, you will pay tax. The Roth, you can put money in, again, if we have earnings and, you know, you meet all the other criteria. If you put money into a Roth that you've qualified to do, you do not get an income tax deduction for that. But when you take the money out, any earnings or growth, as long as it was a qualified distribution, will not be income taxed. That is called after-tax contributions. So when we talk about an advantage to convert, what some people can do is they can take the money out of the traditional IRA, pay income tax on that, and actually put it right into the Roth. Okay? Why would we do that? Why would we want to pay tax on something that we took as a deduction before? What's the catch here? It could be advantageous if when you put the money in, you saved more income tax, you were at a higher income tax rate than when you take the money out. So let's pretend you're working, you're in a 25% tax bracket, you put $5,000 into an IRA, 25% income tax savings on $5,000. That might have been a really good move. You now retire, maybe before you start collecting Social Security, maybe before you start taking a pension, you really might not have any taxable income on your tax return. Now you might be in a 0% tax bracket or a 15% tax bracket. Now you say, hey, that money I just saved 25% tax on, now if I convert it, take it out now, I'm in a 0% tax bracket or a very low tax bracket. Now you can convert to the Roth. Okay, so that's when it's advantageous. You want to look to see what tax brackets you're in when you're making these decisions and what tax bracket you're going to be in when you take the money out. All right, I hope that helps, David. Is there an online tool to use? There may be. I have internal tools, so I don't know about online tools, but there may be online tools to do that. The one thing I caution people about is the interactiveness of your tax return, meaning if you convert money and you take money out of an IRA and put it into a Roth and all that income is taxable on your tax return, and you can do as much or as little, you know, it doesn't matter. You could do $5,000, $10,000, you know, $500,000, whatever you decide if your IRA is that big or a rollover IRA is that big. What you want to be careful of is how it affects the rest of your tax return. You want to see run those numbers first, because if you're someone who normally itemizes and has medical deductions, all of a sudden they're going to be limited more. Maybe you're someone who has Social Security that you've never paid tax on because your income was too low. If you put this other income on your return, now some of your Social Security might be taxed. So you do want to not just run tools about looking at strictly the conversion amount. You want to look and see how a conversion would affect your whole tax picture. We had Mark from Allentown called. Let me give the phone number again, because I do want these calls for the pledge drive, 610-758-8810, 610-758-8810. Mark in Allentown, 40-year-old male, 10% into retirement fund. Should I max out 401k or look for other options at my age, mutual funds or other ideas? Here's what I'm going to say about that, Mark, and everyone's situation is, unique and requires, special attention. But I will say one of the things I try to caution people on is they put so much into their retirement accounts and get that tax deferral that they forget about having an emergency reserve. They forget about building up their regular savings. And then sometimes they get stuck when they're in retirement. I had a client who put all their money into retirement. He retired with over $1 million in an IRA. That sounds pretty awesome. But then when he had to start paying his bills and, buying a house because he moved and buying a car, it was all money out of his IRA and it was all income taxable. And then it becomes a circular calculation because the more he took out, the more income tax he had, the more he had to take out. You see, it just kind of kept going. So I like when people look for saving outside of retirement accounts as well, so that if you're ever in an emergency, you're not forced to take money out of your retirement account. And my example earlier was someone who was over age 59 and a half. They only had to worry about the income tax. Mark, you're 40. If you put all your money into your retirement account, and let's say at age 47, you have to pay college tuition for one of your kids if you have one. All of a sudden, if you're forced to take money out of your retirement account, it could be subject to a 10% penalty if you take money out sooner than age 59 and a half. So I do like for people to make sure that they're saving outside of their retirement accounts as well. I had a bunch of other questions from Ron, and I'll take those after Bill says hello, because we only have 10 minutes left, 8 minutes left maybe. We have to get our calls in for me to make this match. $250. That's out of my pocket, my personal pocket.
Come on, we want to see Laurie get her checkbook out. We've had two of the five that Laurie's looking for. She's made an incredibly reasonable challenge. Five donations during the course of her program, and Laurie will add an extra $250. We've had two so far, three more needed before 7 p.m. That's you and two others, you and a couple of your neighbors or a couple of other listeners. We can do it, but we can only do it with you. 610-758-8810 or securely online at wdiy.org. We are monitoring the website. We will see it as it comes in instantly, so either way will work, but we have volunteers waiting to talk with you. We will thank you with a tree planting. And any level of membership, we recommend the $10 a month evergreen, but $88.10 frequency club is a very good level. 25 cents a day is all that corresponds to. Is WDIY programming worth 25 cents a day to you? If you answer yes to that question, then please pick up the phone. 610-758-8810. Three to go. Put a smile on Laurie's face. Put a smile on my face. And and it will have helped us meet another goal to keep the station on the air, to keep paying our bills. We have bills we have to pay every month, and those bills go up slightly. Particularly NPR programming bills have been going up because our listenership has gone up. And if you're one of those new listeners, think about it. Is it time that you became a supporting member of the station, that you subscribe to this programming that you are receiving for free? Think about it. Does your cable TV service give you programming for free and then say, hey, we'd like to persuade you to pay? You've been listening to us for a year or 2 years now. Would you like to contribute? And by the way, we can let you determine your own price. You put the value on what we give you. That's the opportunity we're offering you here. It's not typical in the business world. We are trusting you to come through for us. 610-758-8810.
Okay, folks, I hope that you call in. You know, I'm one of those people who listens to various programming as well, WDIY, PBS, Channel 39. And I'm one of those people who's always moved to call in. It's guilt, maybe Catholic guilt from growing up. I moved to call in, and I need people to call in to make me feel good so I have a good night. And the phone number is 610-758-8810.
Sorry, 610-758-8810 or wdiy.org. And it's not necessarily guilt. It's a sense of community responsibility. And I'm sure that's what it is in Laurie's case. And we know the station. We are community public radio. We have responsible members of the community listening to us. Come through with that responsibility by supporting the programming that you listen to all year, and in particular, your financial choices. 610-758-8810. Three more calls we need before 7 p.m. Thanks.
5 minutes, folks. 5 minutes. Please, please, please. Ron, you had called and asked several questions. What is the tax rate for people in retirement? Is there one? No, there's not really one at all. Depends on your taxable income and your filing status, whether you're married, filing joint, single, head of household, married, filing separate. So it all depends on your income and your taxable income. And that is one of the opportunities I had mentioned when we're looking at planning for retirement. You have to plan where your income is going to come from to pay you in retirement. Is it from a pension, strictly a pension? Is it from Social Security? Is it from your investments? Because all of those cash flow items are going to have different income tax consequences to you. So sometimes you can control your tax rate a little bit depending on how you're pulling money out of your various resources to fund your retirement. Tax rates could be, you know, anywhere from zero, which we have some people paying no income tax, depending on what their deductions are, and up to, you know, 35%. So it all just depends. Ron also asked, what is the time frame to roll over retirement accounts before it becomes taxable income? Ron, let me just clarify. When we talk about rolling over retirement accounts, typically we're talking about someone who's been employed. They have a 401k or a 403b, and they have the opportunity to roll that over into what we call a rollover IRA. And if you roll that over directly, like a trustee-to-trustee transfer from your employer account into, you know, another custodial account, that is a tax-free transfer because you actually have not withdrawn any money. If you ever withdraw money from a retirement account, such as an IRA, you can put it back within 60 days and also have tax-free treatment. But if you actually take a distribution and use it and spend it, you know, it will be income taxable to you if it's a, you know, a regular, not a Roth 401k. So a regular 401k would be income taxable to you for federal purposes. Sometimes people will have after-tax contributions in retirement accounts. Maybe you're someone who's been employed forever and ever with a company, and you know, maybe at some time in your past you were doing after-tax contributions to 401ks, then you may have some tax-free cost basis like in that retirement account. You want to pull that out before you roll over to an IRA. You don't like mixing after-tax dollars into your rollovers. It just causes all kinds of calculation issues when you go to do your tax return. So if you're someone currently employed with a 401k and you have after-tax dollars in it, please pause and make sure you understand what you have in your accounts. And if you have after-tax dollars, I strongly suggest you pull those out and take those out. They'd be tax-free. The after-tax contributions would come out tax-free. I suggest taking those out rather than rolling them over, because in a rollover, you now have basis, and it's a more complicated tax calculation going forward. Ron asked if I know the average income of retirees right now. I don't, because it all just depends. And what should income look like for a retiree to live comfortably? Well, Ron, that's why at the top of the show we talked about you have to understand your own cash flow and your own budget. You have to know what kind of expenses you're going to have. The biggest threat to retirees is healthcare costs, because they can be quite substantial, especially for people who are retiring prior to age 65, prior to being eligible for Medicare. We're talking much higher healthcare costs for insurance, et cetera, to kind of bridge that gap until you get Medicare. So you really have to do an analysis for yourself, make sure you understand what is down the pike for you as far as your expenses, cash flow, income, et cetera. Bill didn't come in here and tell me that we had any more callers, so I may be sad to say that I don't have to do the $250 challenge, which isn't good, because usually we get $1,000 during your financial choices. So it's been a rough night for me. We got two more, Bill?
Two needed.
We have had three callers, so two needed, and we've got like 10 seconds. So the number is 610-758-8810. If we get two more callers, at least before I leave the studio, which will be in about 5 minutes, I'll write my check. So two more callers, 610-758-8810. So if we needed two more, that means one more had called. So I again want to thank Roseanne and thank Erica And Bob, I really appreciate it. Next week, I think I will continue my discussion a little bit about taking an inventory, and I'm going to break down how we look at assets and liabilities and cash flow budgets, help people figure out how to have a budget if you resist having a budget. So we'll talk about that next week. We have coming up Tom Druckenmiller with In the Tradition Folk Music. Thank you, Jeff. Thank you, Judy Ann. Thank you, volunteer staff. And thank you, listeners and people who pledged tonight. I really appreciate it. Have a great night.